Well, you know, if you listen to the show that I co-host with Kevin Barker, you'll know we're big, big fans of analytics and stats. Ernie Clement's home run tonight. And if you haven't had a chance to see it yet, please try to find it. His home run last night, this is from Sportsnet's stats. At 4.60 feet above the ground is the highest pitch for a home run in Blue Jays history and the third highest in MLB history in the pitch tracking era since 2008. So there you go. The home run swing, yes, indeed. It was as rare as you originally thought it was. 5-3, the Blue Jays. They have beaten the Los Angeles Angels in the first game of a four-game series at the Rogers Center. Ernie Clement's home run, a two-run shot, was the big blow in a five-run second inning that sent the Blue Jays on their way to victory. As always, the numbers to call, 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. If you want to reach out to us, you want to talk about the Jays. Well, a lineup that included Horwitz, Wagner, Clement, Loperfido, and Jimenez. If you look at tonight's lineup, Springer got a job for next year. Varsho got a job for next year. Vladdy got a job for next year. I think Kirk definitely has a job for next year. Horwitz, I think we've already decided to give him a job. But Wagner, Clement, Loperfido, and Jimenez are all auditioning in some way, shape, or form for positions going into spring training. The Jays can't carry every one of the guys that they currently have in their roster right now because the roster is just not that good. So some of these guys who are seeing action right now are going to end up on the cutting room floor, as it were. But my goodness, based on what we've seen from Ernie Clement so far, I mean, Ernie Clement is as of this speaking, Ben Nicholson Smith and I were talking about this, he's grading out as a three war player right now, which is, you know, someplace in the neighborhood of a $20 million a year guy. Now, I'm not saying that Ernie Clement is worth $20 million a year, but I'm saying that if you go on the basis of war, wins above replacement, and the value of people attached to it, the Jays are certainly getting more than their fair share of value. And this is the thing with this organization going forward. Even if payroll stays relatively high, you are still going to need guys who are going to step up and contribute and do things the way Ernie Clement has done them. I mean, you think of the great Jays teams that we've talked about, the 2015-2016 teams. Yes, of course. It was about Josh Donaldson. It was about Russell Martin, Jose Bautista, and Edwin Encarnacion. But Ryan Goins was here tonight. He was very much a part of that team. Kevin Pillar was here tonight. He was very much a part of that team. There were a bunch of guys on that team that contributed, and they weren't the high-salaried guys. You know, they were guys who the Jays were able to get really, really good value out of. So clearly there are some pieces here next year in terms of that. My question to you, I guess, at 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590, I'm going to give you a list. Wagner, Clement, Loperfido, Jimenez, Davis Schneider. Who of that group right now have you decided is on the verge of losing their spot in the pecking order for next year? I think we're just gonna leave Spencer Horwitz where he is, right? But Wagner, Clement, Loperfido, Jimenez, Schneider, those are the guys that are kind of, I wouldn't say on the bubble, but not all of them are going to be able to make the team next year. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 5-3, the Blue Jays have beaten the Los Angeles Angels. How nice was it to see Ryan Yarbrough do that for the Blue Jays? I mean, didn't that remind you of so many Ryan Yarbrough outings against this team? Just kind of lulling you to sleep, and before you know it, he's pitched five innings, and you haven't done a thing. That's what the Blue Jays got out of Ryan Yarbrough tonight. Brendan in Alberta, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Jeff. So for your question, I was thinking, I don't know, like Jimenez, probably doesn't have a job on this team next season if they keep Bichette. If they trade him, he might. But that all depends on if they want to go out and get another shortstop or if they buy into Leo's, what he's done at the big league level or not. And, I mean, Loperfido probably will be your fourth outfielder. Besides that, I don't really see anybody really sticking with a job. I mean, Wagner is probably going to be depth down in the minor leagues. As much as, like, I liked what I've seen from him, and the approach he's giving at the plate is pretty solid. I mean, like, he got his first hit off a lefty today, too, so you don't know what his ceiling really is yet, but it's probably not going to be an everyday guy. But I just wanted to talk about Spencer Horowitz's at-bat.
Yep.
He had to lead off that second inning.
10-pitch at-bat.
Left on left, 10 pitches. He was in a two-strike hole after pitch three, and he just battled. And the ability to then get a pitch down the middle and backspin that baseball all the way to the left center field gap, I mean, that was what you kind of wanted to see from Kevin Biggio, and you weren't seeing the ability to make contact or foul off pitches into strike counts when he would just go up there and get passive and just kind of look at that third strike a lot. Horowitz is not going to go down looking very often, I don't think. And,
no.
Like, for me, that's a positive because you swing the bat, you got a chance to make contact. You got a chance to do something to help your team and to put yourselves in a good position to score runs. So, I don't know.
Now, listen, I appreciate the call, and I am with you with the guys who are probably going to be on this team or not be on this team. We haven't seen Jonathan Class A yet. I want to see him because he will clearly figure in the outfield picture next year. In some form, I'm with you. At the very least, I think Joey Loperfido has this team made as a fourth outfielder. I've said this. I like having as many lefty bats on the bench as I can. I like having as many of my backup players swing from the left side as many as I can because more often than not, you are going to run into a right-handed hitter late in the game. And for that reason, this is the thing about the trade deadline that excites me the most, more than anything else that the Blue Jays have done, is at least now I can look at this lineup and I can see some lefty hitters that aren't easy outs. You know, Spencer Horowitz, we've already talked about him. Will Wagner, not an easy out so far. Joey Loperfido, you know, I think we may be underestimated a little bit the And Ben Shulman and I talked about this on Blair and Barker today. I think we may have underestimated a little bit just the adjustment this guy needed to make coming over here. I mean, this was a guy who was a highly touted prospect in the Houston Astros organization. There was a lot of chatter about him in spring training. I mean, people who follow the Astros, the bloggers, the really serious baseball fans, right, they kind of looked at Joey Loperfido in a lot of ways the way people here looked at Aurelvis Martinez. He was kind of the next prospect that was going to come up and maybe be part of the core. We know the Astros are getting to that point where they're going to lose some guys in free agency. So Joey Loperfido spent all spring training hearing that. Then he's with the team, then he's down, and then he ends up getting traded. I just think that's a lot for a young dude to have dropped on his plate. So I think the Blue Jays approach, from what John Schneider has told us, was that, look, we are going to let this guy show us what we need to do to make him better. We're not going to jump in right away and start doing a bunch of things. We are going to give him some room to breathe. We're going to study him, and we're going to try to work from there. And I just think perhaps what we're seeing with Joey Loperfido is just the comfort level. You know, the comfort level starting to be there. And, I like the skill set. I keep reminding people, and I'm not talking specifically about Joey Loperfido, but I'll throw Jonathan Class A in there as well. I keep reminding people that when the Jays traded for Teoscar Hernandez, nobody was making a big deal about that. Teoscar Hernandez was another Houston Astros outfielder that was just kind of on the cusp, had a difficult time breaking into the Astros. So I'm not drawing comparisons between these two guys and him, but let's just let this play out. And yeah, absolutely. You have to be completely blind to not see that there's more energy about this team right now. I'm not saying that they're a better team. I'm just saying there's more energy about them. They're quite frankly a little more fun to watch on the field. The bullpen, yeah, the bullpen's going to be, we're going to be doing a lot of lighting of candles and crossing our fingers for the rest of the year with the bullpen. I will say that. Robin Port Hope.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, listen, just for a little bit of fun. I thought
yes.
You and I could have some fun talking about under what conditions would the Jays win a World Series in 2026? I know they're a long way, but What would have to happen between now and then? I love what you just said, that if you look back at the last couple of competitive teams that we had, whether it was Eddie Encarnacion, Joey Batts, Teoscar Hernandez, guys that nobody really got a handle on, that just suddenly found their game in their late 20s, and off they went. But what does the World Series championship team look like in 2026? I said to you, Jeff, I just looked at my crystal ball, and they won.
Wow.
How could that have happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be quite honest, because by 2026, you're looking at probably having to fill at least one or two spots in the starting rotation. Chris Bassitt will be gone by then. I can't remember off the top if Kevin Gausman is a free agent after next year, but in the very least, you need another pretty significant starting pitcher. If you don't sign Vladdy, you're going to be looking at, if you don't sign Vladdy, you're going to be looking at a major, I think anyhow, a major rebuild on the part of this team. Maybe rebuild's the wrong word, but certainly a reset. I can't say that if they don't sign Vladdy, I don't think they can take a run at the World Series, but given how difficult it has been for this team to put together a middle of the order, to put together a deep lineup, I can't imagine that if you don't sign Vladdy to that long-term contract, I can't imagine you're going to, in 2026, without Vladdy, without Bo, have a better lineup on the field. I don't see that. And that's before we get to what is everybody else in the division doing? What is everybody else in the league doing? Like, if you look right now around Major League Baseball, the parity, the number of teams that are competing for playoff spots. Look at the AL Central. We used to laugh about the AL Central. Nobody's laughing about it anymore. Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City, those are all really good, serious teams. And they are going to be really good, serious teams next year. And maybe the year after that. We talked about Baltimore. Houston's got this amazing ability to keep things together. Texas won the World Series last year. I mean, that's just in the American League. And what I'm saying is, if this year tells you anything, if what we saw in the postseason last year tells you anything, it's that you really do just have to get into the playoffs to have a run at the World Series, right? There is a chance if you get into the playoffs that you can pull it off. So I hesitate to sit here and say if this doesn't happen, they don't have a chance. If this happens, they do have a chance. But I will say this. Signing Vladdy and building around Vladdy is absolutely crucial to this organization having success in the next two or three years. Do I think they'll do it? I just don't know. I remain skeptical. I think if they wanted to get something done with Vladdy, they would have gotten it done by now. I don't know. I don't know what their intentions are with him. I've never known what their intentions are with him. There are times where I just wonder if this front office even likes Vladdy. Are they interested? I'd be interested in knowing. Are they interested in signing him? Don't give me this stuff about, we want to balance risk. you know, there has to be a risk on both sides. Now, with all due respect, there's more risk on the team than there is on the player when you get to this stage of a guy's career and you start talking about 7, 8, or 9 year contracts. Like, there's more. You're going to have to assume the risk if you're a team. And I don't know if these guys, I don't know if this front office wants to do it. I don't know if they have the stones to do it. I don't know if they have the inclination to do it. I truly don't. Shaw Ali, our producer, telling me Kevin Gausman is under contract through 2026. So there you go. They will have Kevin Gausman. But again, you've got another year on that arm. More mileage. More mileage on that arm. I've said this. I think the window for this Blue Jays group with Vladdy, my sense is it's probably passed. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. But I'm just not certain. I'm not certain that it hasn't passed. Yeah, I'm really not. I'm not certain that the max window for this team wasn't when they had Semien and Teoscar was still here and Gurriel was still here. I'm not certain that that year won't be, when this is all said and done, we'll be looking back at it and saying, you know, as much as it was great to have Vladdy and Bo, that was the year. That was the year that the Jays had a shot at going to the World Series. 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-666-0590. We'll take a break, come back and wrap it up, go back to the phone lines. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I've never seen that before. Really, I mean, I was basically said, holy with everyone else in the dugout. It's just elite bat to ball, you know. It's kind of the blessing and the curse. Swinging a hot bat right now. That was pretty ridiculous what he did. He's really intense, and I think that he's done a great job of kind of transitioning into playing every day. Going back to last year, kind of some adjustments he's made offensively have been really, really good. Defensively, he's been outstanding, third, short, second, and on the mound. You know, he kind of does it all, but it doesn't really surprise me because I think he's had a battle for everything his entire career, and he's taken advantage of a time where he gets to play, and he's going about it the right way.
You know, it's funny. That's John Schneider talking about Ernie Clement. Now, I know that Kevin Pillar and Ernie Clement are different players. They play different positions, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, Kevin Pillar, when he was here, was drafted by the Blue Jays and everything. But I kept thinking, looking at Kevin Pillar out on the field and watching Ernie Clement, about just how important it is to take advantage of your opportunities and how important it is to go about doing things the right way. Kevin Pillar, of course, got sent down to AAA by the Blue Jays, by John Gibbons. We've talked about this often. We talked about it with Kevin Pillar. He ended up coming back to the majors and staying here. And look where he is now. So, just throwing that out there. 5-3, the Blue Jays have beaten the Los Angeles Angels. We've got a few minutes left in Blue Jays talk. Let's go to the text line. Show Ellie, our producer. Show, you've got some text for us.
I do, yeah. A couple came in both during the game and after the game. You asked the question about what people want to see from a lot of the younger guys. What will their places be for next year? Tina from London, Ontario says, love Clement, Horwitz, Wagner, and Loperfido. I hope we can find a spot for them in 2025. The Davis Schneider experiment should be over now, please. And Ryan and Arthur, to me, it's easy to send Jimenez down next year given his age. Looks like a good backup option to Bo. Davis Schneider is AAA bound, and the others make up great bench and platoon pieces.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. You know what? I agree with both of those things. We keep forgetting that Jimenez, unlike a lot of the other guys, is really young. He's 23 years old. I don't think the Blue Jays have to make a decision on him. I'd love to see him. I certainly want to see him in the organization, and I want to see these sort of little tantalizing power glimpses we've seen from him. I want to see that develop further in AAA. And, yeah, unfortunately, I think, like a lot of people, I love the Davis Schneider story. I think the guy's been exposed the more he's played. You know, unlike Ernie Clement, who's made that transition into an everyday player right now and seems to be taking with it and running, same thing with Spencer Horwitz. I don't see that from Davis Schneider. And it's not that the Blue Jays haven't been giving him chances, but you know what? We still have September to go. Let's see if Davis can turn it around a bit and maybe get back, you know, get back into the thoughts for next year. 5-3, the Blue Jays have beaten the Los Angeles Angels. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Elmwood and Owen Sound, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.